Thank you, Jesse, and thank you, Donald, for reading for me this morning. And obviously, some of you didn't catch the rumor that Keith wasn't going to be here. I missed out on that. But how's everybody doing this morning?
I'm well.
See, am I the only one that's struggling this morning? I mean, for real? I've gotten to the point where when I run into people and they say, how you doing? I don't say fine. Usually as I'm hanging in there, you know, and then people go, yeah, so am I, really. So let's take just a minute or two and turn around to someone near you, because maybe your spouse lied to you this morning and said I'm good, or maybe someone else, and just ask for real, how are you doing this morning, and give you something to pray for you this week. So, go ahead. See, obviously, we ought to take the time, especially as believers, as we're walking our daily day, to try to get past the, hey, I'm fine, I'm good, you know, because that is our typical response, and we just don't really get very close with anybody, whether we're working with them or sometimes it's even with our spouse. And we don't let down and go, yeah, I'm good. No, I'm not good. This is not going well today, whatever. Before we start, let me open this up in prayer, and then we'll get back into Galatians, where we left off last week. Dear Lord, I thank you for this time for us to gather together. Lord, just to try to let the world not distract us, or that we have an opportunity to just try to refocus ourselves, or to let go of things that are we may be struggling with today or this week or this month. Lord, if we're honest with ourselves, Lord, we're struggling in some place that we need your help. And Lord, there's no better place than a community of believers to be real and to say, hey, I just need you to be lifting me up in this matter this week. So Lord, we just ask that you would be with us today. Lord, that you would speak to us through your word. Lord, that you would change us and that you would use us in the following week wherever you may send us out. We ask this in Jesus' name. So pick it up where Keith left off. We're in Galatians 5, 13 through 15, and we've been talking a lot about freedom. I liked several things we're talking about, because sometimes I get really kind of consumed and not feel free and need to shake it off like we literally did in last Sunday's message. But in verse 13, Paul starts off in the first half of verse 13, he says, for you were called to freedom, brother. So this is a reminder of where we've been and what we've been talking about. I think our tendency when we talk about this is like, you know, what are we free from? Because, you know, we're free from the law as a means of salvation. We're free from the weight of sin, which, you know, is a heavy burden on us. We're free from superstitions, anything that, you know, Jesus and scenario. But, you know, one of the things that I have been thinking about over the last couple of weeks is, what are we free for? Often, we take that freedom and we think, well, I can just do whatever because I'm free. And it's going to get forgiven and, you know, And that repeat thing that we do, whatever it might be, you know, maybe you've taken the freedom to the point where you're just like, you know, I'm not worried about it, I'm not convicted about it, you know, I'm free, I'm good. I don't need to feel that weight of that sin. But Paul continues in the second part of 13 by issuing a warning about the abuse of Christian living. And he says, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. So, it's a balancing act, because I believe that if someone realizes that freedom, maybe they have a tendency to swing that pendulum way to the other side, where they're just feel the freedom to do whatever, act whatever. 1 Peter 2:16 says, live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. 1 Corinthians 8:9 says, but take care that this right of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. This passage was used often for me. I come from Southern Baptist background, and it's a really big deal not to drink. And so had a lot of discussions about that issue. It really, hearing that, I mean, I really didn't think about it too much until, and it's been more recently than when I was younger. But I know men, you know, my age or right around my age, that have, you know, huge drinking problems. And it's created... they've lost jobs. They've lost families over it. And it's made me go, I'm free to do this, but should I do this in the presence? You know, is this a stumbling block for them? So thinking about freedom that way. 2 Peter 2:19 says, they promise them freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. For whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. But Paul goes on and says, but through love, serve one another. I think this is a struggle for me and for all of us, really. I think that we, it's easy to serve myself, you know, in whatever the scenario might be. It's difficult to serve others. An example of where I really struggled not that long ago was I came home from work. I was exhausted. I just wanted to go home, go in and just chill, eat, go to bed early. My grass needed cutting. And as I pulled up, the widow lady that lives behind me was struggling to try to get her lawnmower out of her back porch. I did not want to see that. I was like, did you time that? Like, have you been watching to see what time I've been coming home this week? Did you time that to pull out, you know, to exaggerate the struggle out the back porch so that I would see that? I did not want to serve her. I'm just being honest. I wanted to pretend like I didn't see it. I wanted to grab my briefcase. I wanted to go inside and chill. My own grass needed to be cut. But she's a lady that she's been in her life for 6+ years, and she is a legitimate widow, and she was going to cut her grass. I mean, she wasn't someone that was just going to, like, she's not trying to do anything. She was going to try to do it herself. And so, you know, just, not, I didn't even change clothes. I didn't even take my stuff inside. I was like, my heavy Lord. And I went and grabbed the lawnmower. I was like, what are you doing? She's like, I'll cut a path or two a day. And by about the time I get done, I have to go back and start a path or two a day, you know, to get this done. It's not a big yard. Wasn't really that big of a deal, you know. But I didn't want to serve her. You know, if this is written, and we're talking a lot about, you know, body, this church, our church, even more than those around us. But like, we can get an email about, hey, you know, someone needs a meal. I don't know. The list is long. And the last thing that we want to do, I mean, if we're honest with ourselves, is to serve each other. I mean, we're really a little more concerned about, you know, my needs, my desires, my wants. 1 Corinthians 9:19 says, "For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them." I think this is a verse that convicted me back when we were overseas, where, you know, we have a plan and an agenda, and, you know, be like here and thinking about the time that we're under the bridge and about food and clothes and that kind of stuff. And that's, you know, like we're super fired up about doing that. We'll come and give up some of our time to get ready for going over and doing that. And we missed the part where we blew by so many people throughout our normal day to get to that event. When we were overseas, me and a couple guys actually kept blown by this guy. It's a long story to get into who he was and why he was there. But he's not the person that you pay attention to. He's the guy that cleans the stairs in the complex that you're living in. Like, you're not really supposed to give him, like, even pay attention to give him eye contact. He's not the guy that you're supposed to love and serve. One of the guys is probably better at this than I was, and he's like, one time, just like, "Hey, man, how can we help you out?" "Oh, no, you can't do that." "Oh, if we're like, it's like, how can we help you out?" And I was like, "Oh, yeah, so, like, how can we help you out? Like, can we clean the stairs today?" You know? Probably the first time I think I remember hearing this that really kicked in. He said, "Why would you do that?" Like, I didn't have an answer for him at the time. But his, "Wow, why in the world would you do that?" Like, do you understand? I'm like low class. I'm not even from this country. Like, you're not even supposed to talk to me. You're not even supposed to look me in the eye. I'm not supposed to look at you in the eye. Like, I'm just supposed to be here to get your bags or help you or clean your stairwell or whatever, to take your trash out. Why in the world would you do that? You know, it was from that day, I think, and we had small children at the time, and so I started paying attention to it more and more. It's a little easier when you live, you know, a good way to put it is outside your comfort zone. When you're, you know, the only American from around, people are looking at you, watching you, paying attention to every move you make. They watch how you interact with your spouse. They watch how you are with your children. They watch how we are together. You know, more than likely last night, we didn't make it to the Lebanese thing, but the group that was there was probably people watching that group sitting around eating together. The events under the bridge, people watch how we interact. Have you ever asked yourself, what are you modeling? What are people seeing? I remember in Charlotte, early stages of getting involved in it is a very large church, and why we ended up going there was because someone just realized when we pulled up in the parking lot that we were not members. And like instantly, you know, hey, are you new? How can we help you? You want to go with us to our Sunday school class? Hey, you want to go out to eat afterwards? It so had an impact on our lives that like I started doing some stuff where we're trying to pay attention to people that were coming into the church after us. And if you're watching, if you're paying attention, what you may miss out on is when that van pulls up and the family's in there and the windows are rolled up, either they talk to each other very animated or they weren't having a good time on the way to church. And somehow they stepped out of the van and if you said, how are you doing? They're like, we're doing great. But people were watching and I had a guy say, yeah, they weren't doing great. Whether we realize it or not, whether we're at work, school, just hanging out with friends, we have people that are watching us all the time. There's, how many people have seen the movie Woodlawn? So you need to see the movie Woodlawn. While you're watching the movie Woodlawn, make sure that you look for Hope and Kaylee. Kaylee's my daughter in the movie. It's kind of like a Where's Waldo moment because you're not going to find them. Anyway, there were extras in that movie. But you may not get this, and I messed up and I didn't get my clip together early enough to see, but if you don't know the background behind it, you wouldn't understand that what happened was the players themselves, it was a radical change. There was a lot of people that came to know the Lord. The coach was like, you know, I don't get y'all. Like, this is crazy. Like, you know, he was having a really hard time. He was struggling with it. And there's a scene in there. So if you ever watch Woodlawn, get ready for the scene. And I just tell you about this part. I won't tell you any more spoiler alerts. When the coach just walked in the door, it'd be like someone just walking in the door right now. Because preaching, I'm ready. No. So there was preaching going on. So the coach just walked in the door, and he was like, "Hey, I need to say something." Just interrupted the whole service. Just walked up and said, "You know what? There is something in my player's life that I don't have. Like, I see them." And I see what God is doing in their life. And he said, I don't have that. And he said, and I prayed last night, and I don't even know how to pray. He said, but I prayed, and now I believe, and I want to be baptized. Like, that's the kind of lives that we need to be living so that those people around us who see us will start coming to the door and you'll be like, wow, like I had no idea. Because you just don't ever know. Especially the people that you are pretty convinced are never going to come to know the Lord. Because I can tell you, a guy that used to work for me when we were framing houses, who I was convinced, like I said, I will not waste my time with him. Because he will never, ever, ever come to know the Lord. And God had a different plan for him. He watched an interaction between believers on a job site, and he wanted part of that. Verse 14 says, "For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." You know, when you're empty, if you have a hole, that's not filled. If you're not a believer, you know, there's not going to be a lot of love. But as a believer, we should be full. We should be so full that there's just love overflowing. You know, Leviticus 19:18 says, "You shall not take vengeance or bear grudge against the sons of your own people. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Matthew 7:12 says, "So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets." Matthew 19:19 says, "Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." John 13:34 says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another." Galatians 5:22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness." Galatians 6:2 says, "Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." You know, if you look up the one another's, there's quite a few. It's not just from what I just read in Galatians. The opposite of that, people experiencing, you know, the love of a body is verse 15. "But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another." I think probably several of us can attest, and they've been part of a previous body where there was a whole lot of biting going on. You know, in fact, that may be why we are this group today, because we've seen and experienced that firsthand. We've seen the bite. You know, it kind of goes back to what I said before. If you're hungry, if you're empty, then you're hungry. And if that void inside you is empty, then you're going to go after, because you're not happy, you're not content. But if you're full, then you're satisfied. I don't remember what the experience was that caused me to pray this prayer. But I need to pray it more often. The prayer that I've prayed in the past is, "Lord, so fill me with your Spirit. So much so that it is overflowing, that it spills out on the people around me, that I just can't help it. That it's not even me. You know, I think that there's a balancing act when we're talking about the freedom, and it goes back to just really maybe a little less concerned about what we're free from, but at least considering what we're free for. There are an unbelievable amount of lost people around us, no matter where we go. You know, Jesse was talking about how natural a father's love is for his children. Where we live currently, we don't see fathers, number one. I mean, it's just hard to explain unless you've lived or spent time in that community. Number one, you just don't see fathers. They're not part of the equation. There's a lot of children that don't know a father's love. A personal struggle that I'm going through right now is that I'm supposed to love my neighbors. My neighbor's children are hard to love. I'm just telling you that I'm especially this week, I am struggling big time, and the pack seems to be growing, which makes it harder for me to love them. Like, just being real, I got a big black lab. Most people don't know it's a Labrador. Most people don't realize it just wants to lick you. His presence scares a lot of people. I was tempted to really walk my dog at this moment in time because of the things that were going on. But I have to tell myself, those children do not know the love of the Father. You can ask my wife, there is only one father that we know of that has lived with his wife and raised his children in our neighborhood. That's it. I can't tell you any other neighbors that live around me that there's a guy ever. I'm not picking on the wives. The girlfriend or whatever. But there's a whole lot of yelling and screaming, you know, that's happening. That's what I see these children experience. So where I'm struggling is they're my neighbor. I don't know how, in my own strength, to love them, to love those boys. I get in defensive mode. I get super concerned about damage to my property. We've been broken into several times. We've had things destroyed before, stolen. In my own power, I don't know how to love those children. But who am I to get my car and drive here and not love those children, the widow that lives behind me, the drug dealer that lived next to me forever? How am I on strength? I think that Keith, when he comes back next week, can pick up in verse 16 where and following. But just in 16 it says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Because my flesh wants to get out and start yelling at some kids and start chewing on the dog, among other things. The thumping music that goes on constantly, I want to get out and bang on somebody's car. You know what? It's a daily challenge for me. And if it's not, you know, if you're not running into that same scenario, whether it's someone at the gas station or someone at Walmart, Walmart would be a good place to, you know, test your love. But work, it's a balance that I think we struggle with daily because I want to serve myself. When I'm home, I want it to be quiet. Like, I raise my kids. We're empty nesters. Like, I don't want the screaming and hollering literally on my front porch or my backyard. You know, I want, but what I need to do was get up, go out there, and start playing basketball with some young men that don't have the love of a father. They're not coming to a meeting like this. There is no telling what they're experiencing in their life. So to summarize, you know, I think we'll talk more about this next week, but because the question I keep asking myself is, how do I do this? I've had people say, why in the world would you do that? And it's not because of me. I mean, I've never had an answer before, really. In struggling and reading through this last week, I was like, it's because it was not me. I didn't do it because I wanted to do it. But maybe this week we should all just be praying that the Spirit would so fill us, that our lives would be so full that it would just spill over to whoever we come into contact. whether it be, you know, the neighbor kids next door, or the guy at work, or whoever it is that, you know, is your neighbor. Maybe it's your spouse. You know, let's challenge ourselves to think as much about what we're free for as we've thought about what we're free from. Because we have a big responsibility. I'm not sure that we take it very seriously, but the loving one another, I mean, is a command. You know, do people see something different when they're around us as a group? Do they see something different when they're around us as an individual? Do they say, I don't know what in the world, but like, I want whatever they have? Because it's easy to, you know, I work in a lot of expensive homes, and it's easy to say, I want what they have when it's a Ferrari or, you know, a very large home. But I also look at the people that own those, and then it's not always the case, but it's often, it's still not enough. They've still got that empty, and they're ready to devour. So take time this week. You know, you've asked, hopefully, someone something that you can be praying about. Continue to pray about that. Show that you genuinely care about that other person. Find out more about them. Find out more about the guy that's irritating you at work. It's a little easier for me to help the widow. I've got to love the young men next door. I can only do that through the work of the Holy Spirit. So I just want to close in praying for us, that the Spirit would be with us, that He would fill that void, that hole, so that we are so full that we would not have a tendency to devour each other. And that it would spill over out of your cars wherever you're going from here. And hopefully have an impact that you can only say this is God's work, not anything I'm doing. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this time, for this group of believers. Lord, just, you know, for convicting me over the last week or two. Lord, how we're just all in process, and we're maybe different places in that process. Lord, that you continue to be at work in our lives. Lord, it's only by you filling us with your Spirit, Lord, that we can love one another. Lord, that we can love our neighbor like we love ourselves. Lord, that we can treat others the way we want them to treat us. Lord, we have a short time on this earth, and Lord, we just ask that you would just walk with us, and Lord, help us to do your will, whatever that might be. In Jesus' name. Amen.